Unfortunately, that was the best part of my speech. Mr. Borton will be representing the appellant and Mr. Kelly will be representing Two Rivers. Are there any other preliminary matters?
No, Your Honor.
Nothing, Judge, from our end. Thank you.
Very good, and thank you. You may proceed, sir, Mr. Borton.
Thank you, Mr. Chief Justice, fellow justices, and may it please the court. My name is Joe Borton, here on behalf of the appellant, the City of Eagle. This case concerns a small parking lot in the Two Rivers subdivision. This small parking lot was built about 17 years ago. It was built by the landowner as part of that subdivision's development. And upon its completion, this small parking lot was used by the public to access the trailhead that was adjacent to it. This trailhead was public as well, and it led citizens and residents to and from the Boise River and the Boise River Greenbelt. After it was built, it was utilized by the public for a number of years, well over 10 years, without interruption, without question or concern. And then sometime recently, the Homeowners Association of Two Rivers changed course. And the Homeowners Association decided to block continued public access to this small parking lot. Well, the City of Eagle disagreed with that decision, and the City of Eagle filed a lawsuit to preserve the public's use of this small parking lot. We believe that the record in this case, as part of our underlying suit and on appeal, reflects that a common law dedication of that small parking lot occurred, and that once that dedication occurred, it is irrevocable. The analysis begins there. We have in Idaho over 100 years of case law which discusses common law dedication. From the Thiessen case in 1914 up through the ACHD Rowley case in 2014, Idaho has consistently recognized common law dedication as an alternate means to dedicate land for private or public use. And unlike statutory dedications, which is not at issue in this case, a common law dedication has consistently had two relatively simple elements. The first, the party establishing or alleging that a common law dedication occurred has to establish that there was a clear and unequivocal intent to dedicate the property for public use. The second element is we need to establish that there was an acceptance of that offer by the public. Now, the 100-year history that I referenced moments ago has brought before this court a good dozen or so cases that provide some guidance on what kind of factual record is necessary to show that a common law dedication occurred. One thing is very clear in that analysis is that it is very fact specific. As to the first element, that becomes very clear. The first element being, can we show a clear and unequivocal intent to dedicate for public use? The case law looks at a variety of documents or factors to determine whether or not that intent exists. That intent can be found in the grantor's statements. He or she can declare it clearly. It can be found in a plat. It can be found in the overall development scheme or the surrounding circumstances. The cases cite to any or all of those, depending on the record, to determine that one question. Is there clear and unequivocal intent to dedicate? Sometimes that's found in a plat, and sometimes it's found in surrounding circumstances. But really, did the landowner intend to encumber the property? Our case is very unique. And as we set forth in our brief, we believe the relief we requested is relatively narrow because the record in this case is very unique. We have in the record expressions of intent to dedicate as well as surrounding circumstances, all which meet that first element. First and foremost in this case, which is unlike any other case, I start with the landowner's public declaration at a city council meeting, November 26, 2002. We have actual minutes of the time of this initial declaration of intent. That's at the record at page 158 and at 164. It's at the land use hearing where the landowner is trying to receive some benefit to change some use in his development, specifically including private streets. And as part of that request to have private streets, the developer addresses the loss in parking by representing an intent to provide public parking at the trailhead. The motion to approve that request on that evening specifically referenced public parking, and that's the record at page 164. And this is the type of affirmative evidence of intent that some of our previous cases from this court have given us direction. Rather than looking for an omission, we're looking for an affirmative declaration, and this is a great start of an affirmative declaration by the landowner to encumber his property with a small public parking lot, and the city expressed its approval as a whole body by its public vote that evening. This is rare. It's hard to find overt declarations of intent that are captured in minutes. I couldn't find a case that was analogous to this in our history. But it's one of the elements or one of the ways a court can try and find that intent. And it was something that the district court recognized. The record at page 288, the district court decision on summary judgment in this case, the district court found the following. This court finds that as of November 26, 2002, the hearing on TR's rezoning application, TR intended to convey by dedication an easement to the public over lot 35, block 24 for use as public parking. And we don't disagree with that finding from the district court. That intent was clearly declared at that time, and it was recognized by the city, and the minutes capture that. The question then becomes, and the district court, where we disagree with the district court is, was the offer ever actually made? And the district court concluded that an offer wasn't made, and we disagree with that. We believe the record reflects that it was. But at the start, the intent has been presented to provide that public parking at the trailhead. So now we look to what are the substance and mechanics of the actual offer. 4 months later, and this is found attached as Exhibit F to Dan Torpin's affidavit, it's in the record at 147, the landowner then submitted a design review application. And in that design review application, and that's specifically on Exhibit 5, it shows within Phase 8 of the Two River subdivision, this lot 35, which is a common lot, which the city never expressed any ownership interest in, that design review application from the landowner to the city specifically located this parking lot within that common lot. It depicted its design, its number of stalls, exactly where and how it was going to be constructed. That was submitted on March 6th of 2013. That application with that specific location on lot 35 for this small public parking lot was approved by the city council on May 13th, 2003. Without objection from the landowner or from anybody else. This is now the city council record of an affirmative acceptance of a very specific offer. In the Ashbury case, one of the cases that this court has addressed common law dedication provides some direction, and it states that the substance of an offer is not measured until acceptance. So, while the specificity in November 26th of exactly how many stalls this lot does or doesn't have is not fatal to the city's position, because in fact that was presented with the actual offer in March of 2003, and it was specifically accepted in May of 2003. So during that time period, November 26th of 2002 to March 6th of 2003, there is a clear expression of intent to dedicate for public use a small parking lot. The surrounding circumstances support that finding. It was part of that exchange for the developer to get the private streets that he wanted. And we have in this case, unlike any others, that express on the record declaration, not only from the grantor of the property, but also the grantee, the city, overtly and on the record accepting the specifics of that offer on May 13th. Those dates are important because the plat in this phase 8 was not presented to the city until 4 months later, August 12th, I believe, of 2003. But the intent to offer was already established and it was already clear. And as I'd cited to the district court's decision in this case on page 24, the district court agreed. We, though, believe the offer was actually made on March 6th and then formally accepted on May 13th.
Mr. Borton, is there any evidence in the record that actually reflects why the parking lot is not reflected on the plat?
Justice Brody, there is not a specific reference to it, but I think a reasonable conclusion would be that the landowner at this entire time from 2000 even through 2004 was also the owner and operator of the HOA, and you had multiple hats being worn by this landowner. And I think the record reflects that it was simply missed, that it wasn't an overt communication, the omission of the lot on the plat. But I believe at the time that the plat was presented to the city and signed by the city in August of 2003, the common law dedication had been completed. And so back to where I started, where courts look to various documents or items of evidence to try and determine whether or not there was intent. Most of the cases that reference the plat don't have these other circumstances, and they certainly don't have the grantor before a city council providing testimony or providing a design review application. That specificity, which in this case occurred well before the plat, didn't exist in those cases. So in those cases, those courts were trying to look at, well, what does the plat say? Maybe the CCNRs or surrounding circumstances. But here we have a very narrow fact scenario which supports a completed common law dedication by May of 2003. Now, the respondent wants the court to skip all of that. I think the respondent needs the court to ignore that whole body of very unique fact evidence, which is not disputed, and jump straight to the plat. And the fact that the plat omits any reference to it to be an indicator that there was never an expression of intent to make this parking lot public. Now, amongst the surrounding circumstances, we all know that this is a parking lot that was constructed at the landowner's expense and that it was utilized by the public for well over 10 years. Nobody objected. Nobody said, what is this? Who built this parking lot? Why is it here? And why is the public using it? All of those circumstances support that specific intent that the lot was built for that purpose, for public use, and that it was in fact used by the public. And once that occurs, once a common law dedication occurs, our court has told us that is an irrevocable encumbrance. And it's our position that to look at the plat to try and determine intent is irrelevant. I think it's a red herring and it's too late. I don't think you can unring the bell once a common law dedication has occurred in May of 2013. And the lot had been built by then.
You said 2013, Mr. Borton. Okay. 2003.
I apologize, 2003. May 13th of 2003. The city council on the record, and this was put forth in the initial pleadings, it was admitted in the answer that these facts occurred, they're undisputed, it's what's the legal consequence of these undisputed facts. And it's
Mr.
our position.
Borton, I understand your argument that the plat may not be the end all and be all and the close the discussion on this, but you indicated that we should not give the plat any weight at all. And I'm not sure I follow you there.
I think back to the initial question, to the first element of what a common law dedication is comprised of, that initial inquiry is to find clear and unequivocal intent. And a plat is one of several ways a court can find that clear and unequivocal intent. It has never been the sole source of that information. And so what we think in this case is we have a chronology of events that by the time you get to the plat, the common law dedication has already occurred because the record reflects already there was a clear and unequivocal intent to dedicate. And in fact, the specificity of that offer was known. And in fact, the record reflects that the city overtly accepted that in May of 2003. So while in other cases, you might need to look to the plat because you don't have the luxury of having those facts. In this very specific case, going to the plat doesn't help you. It's not necessary because we believe the dedication had already occurred. So if the, with a common law dedication having occurred, been provided, been accepted, this parking lot was then constructed and it was then utilized by the public. And we talk about acceptance. While this record is very unique in that it establishes a public meeting city council vote to approve an actual diagram showing this exact location of this parking lot, which in our brief we showed it's exactly what it looks like in that exact location, that the parking lot was accepted by the city. And then some of our case law talks about acceptance can also be shown by continued public use, which we have that as well. We have over 10 years following its construction of continued public use, just as the parties had intended. Looking back at the discussion in November of 2002 before the city council, when that dialogue talks about trying to address the concern of where might the public park if they want to use this public trailhead to get to the Boise River, let's provide public parking because the private streets are going to take some of that away. So I think it all ties together to the court's direction of looking at the surrounding circumstances. I think all of that supports the city's position in this very fact-specific case. That when you have the record here, it invites a very narrow ruling in the favor of the city of Eagle. I think these unique facts, when you have a public declaration of intent recorded within the minutes of a public meeting that preserves that intent from the landowner grantor himself, coupled with a design review application presented to the city, which has the specifics of the offer. And then that design review specifics of the offer is accepted in recorded minutes in a public meeting by the city. In that circumstance, the two elements of a common law dedication are met. With a common law dedication, the city of Eagle respectfully asks that this court reverse the decision.
Hold on just a minute, Mr. Borton, before you end there. If this court were to agree with the city and reverse this, the grant of summary judgment, would we need to reach the district court's handling of counts 2 and 3?
Justice Brody, I don't believe so. I believe that issue becomes moot because the common law dedication is the means for the court then to grant the injunction to prevent further obstruction of the public access to this small parking lot.
And where the HOA, I believe at the record, are in the record at pages 60 and 61 has indicated that the bollards have now been removed. Do you still need, would the city still need injunctive relief?
Yes, Justice Brody. We had expressed prior to litigation, the city had expressed its concern and its position that it had this right to retain public access to the lot. And that was rejected, I guess, by the Homeowners Association, despite the city's pleas, and signs were put up and then bollards were put up. I believe the city needs that court order to ensure that the HOA doesn't restrict it in the future. And one of the unique features is the HOA, while it's a single entity, its owners or its officers change over time with the homeowners. So it'll be extremely important for the city to have that injunction so the HOA as a body, the future officers down the road, don't change course and put bollards back up and inhibit public access. I think that risk is real, so we still need that relief.
Thank you.
Go
ahead, Mr. Borton.
Well, in conclusion of my remarks, I'll reserve the remaining 10 minutes. But I stress, as I started, I'll conclude on that point. I believe that granting relief for the city is relatively narrow. As I indicated, these are fact-specific inquiries, and under these specific facts, in this chronology, you have a clear record of a common law dedication that was completed prior to needing to review a plat. It's consistent with the entire surrounding circumstances and the conduct of the parties. So the City of Eagle respectfully asks that this court reverse the decision of the district court and hold that this record supports a finding that as a matter of law, a common law dedication was completed and that this small parking lot in the Two River subdivision shall remain a small public parking lot. I'll stand for any questions.
Appear to be none, and thank you, sir.
Thank you.
On behalf of the respondent, Mr. Kelly.
Thank you, Chief Justice Burdick, members of the court. In addressing counsel's argument, I didn't keep track of the actual number, but he said several times that there was a clear expression of intent to offer. And again, he said that, he also said that this is a narrowly factual case, that we need to pay specific attention to the fact. We take that in consideration of the fact that this is a common law dedication case, and the elements of a common law dedication case have already been discussed, is a clear and unequivocal offer indicating an intent to dedicate land. Again, Mr. Borden talked about the expression of intent to offer several times, but we never actually saw or hear anything about a clear and unequivocal offer. We have discussions in regard to a city council meeting in November of 2002, which was recorded and transcribed. Rarely, if ever, do you have that, something like that captured in which to rely upon. And there is nothing in the record at all showing that there was any clear and unequivocal offer by TR Company to dedicate lands for public use to the city of Eagle. There's nothing we have a presumed offer, a presumed acceptance by the councilwoman, but we're not even sure what she's accepting, and I don't think she is either. We have references to a meeting in May of 2003 at the design review application, and again, nothing to indicate that there was a clear and unequivocal intent to dedicate any property within that HOA, particularly Lot 35.
Mr. Kelly, if that's true, why does the developer create a parking lot on Lot 35? Why would they do that if they weren't acting on what had been done at those prior meetings?
There was discussions, absolutely, Your Honor, that there were going to be potential lots put in place, but there's nothing to say we're dedicating this Lot 35, particularly Lot 35, for the purposes of public use at that trailhead. Again, using the standard required for a common law dedication, there is nothing in the record that shows a clear and unequivocal offer to dedicate that to public use. And there's several areas of off-street parking within that subdivision. I mean, there's several phases of that subdivision, and if you look, and maybe the plat is not the end-all be-all to a discussion on whether there was a common law dedication, but the plat clearly shows there's parking lots all over the place. And you would think that if there was a common law dedication specifically of Lot 35 to the city for public use, that would have been indicated somewhere in one of these meetings, captured in one of the transcripts, or indicated on that plat.
The minutes of the meeting say that there will be public parking at the trailhead. I mean, that strikes me as fairly specific, especially once the parking lot is created.
But again, Judge, we're looking at something that there is an expression of intent. But at that point in time, there is not an offer to dedicate that particular lot to the city for use of parking at the trailhead.
Just because they didn't designate which lot was involved, there's no parking at the trailhead, even though it was clear from the transcript that there was parking at the trailhead that was intended to be conveyed?
And Your Honor, with all due respect, you just said it. It was intended. And the district court caught on to this, that at the point that there was clearly an expression of intent, but at no point in time did they make that offer to say, all right, we are clearly and unequivocally offering you lot 35 for the purposes of public parking at the trailhead.
So the public is dispossessed of any public parking in this development?
No, Your Honor. Like I said, they're looking at this as being essentially a common law dedication, which they are essentially saying we have an easement on that piece of property now. And that is not the case. The only thing at issue here, as Mr. Borden said, this is a narrow factual issue, and we are looking at as such also. There's parking all over this development, but lot 35 was not specifically dedicated to the City of Eagle for the purposes of being a public parking lot at the trailhead. It can be used as such, and it was used as such, but there was never any property interest conveyed to the City of Eagle at any point in time.
Does that offer have to be in writing?
I don't think so, Your Honor. I don't think there's anything in the case law that says it has to be in writing, but again, it has to be clear and unequivocal. And I don't think there's anywhere in the record where you're going to find that offer. As the judge indicated in his order, that there's clearly an expression of intent by Corfin and or Baker, depending on which one you look at any point in time, that they intended to provide some public parking, but at no point in time did they extend that offer. And frankly, I think the city probably got hoodwinked by the developer. Don't worry about it. Sometime in the future, we're going to give you parking. And that's actually spelled out in the transcript of the city council meeting, which the judge caught on to in the in his ruling, that at some time in the future, we are going to discuss parking. And I think we referenced that on page 13 of our brief. So at no point in time, again, we're missing that key element here, that there was no clear and unequivocal offer by the developer at the time that they're gonna make a common law dedication of this particular parking lot for the public's use.
You indicate, sir, that there are, as I understand it, this is a gated community?
Yes, Your Honor.
And as such, you've referred to numerous parking lots all over the subdivision. Those are all behind the gate, correct?
Well, the entrance to the subdivision is usually open.
It's all behind the gate, correct?
Correct.
All right. And in addition, as I think I read, and correct me if I'm wrong, if I think I read that there was special signage on this parking lot indicating that it was for the use of the trailhead. Is that correct?
Well, there was an affidavit by a William Vaughn from the city indicating that there was signage up, with no indication as to who put the signage up, but I think it's pretty clear that the city, the records doesn't reflect, but it's pretty clear that the city put that signage up. But
okay.
But Your Honor, the thing is,
I understand your argument that you are looking at that in the 03 lens, not any other lens.
But just to be clear on that argument, Judge, we're not even so sure those signs were up. I think if you look at the record in regard to an affidavit of, let me see here. Bear with me one second.
There's an affidavit that we submitted to the court on summary judgment from a Jody Zanecki, which is at the record at page 258, in which she specifically, and she's a resident of the subdivision, she specifically disputed the fact that there were, in fact, any signs ever up, indicating that there was available for public parking. So that's a factual issue, which we're not even sure if the sign, those signs were ever up.
Thank you, sir.
The HOA, in its answer, denied that the public used the parking lot from 2004 to 2015. Is there, at this point in time, is there any factual dispute as to whether the public actually used the lot?
No, Your Honor, and you know, and I think we're probably going to get, you know, something that's outside the record here, that, you know, part of the issue was is how the public was using that lot. And that's why the subdivision got into, the HOA got into a dispute with the city, and which resulted in this property interest claim being brought up in 2016. So there really wasn't ever an argument one way or the other until the city essentially decided to tell the HOA that they had a property interest in that parking lot in 2016. There was never any dispute that people would use a trailhead. People were never precluded from that. It was the use of the parking lot.
Okay, but all right, I'm a little bit confused now. So did the public use the parking lot between 2004 and 15?
To my knowledge, Your Honor, they did. But again, I don't have anything to point to the record.
Okay.
That's my problem as far as addressing that question. So again, you know, I think we go through all of these potential arguments here that there was a clear and unequivocal offer to dedicate this property to the public. Again, the lower court went through great pains and did a fairly lengthy analysis on whether there was a common law dedication, which again, counsel has indicated that's the only thing at issue here. The only thing at issue here is whether there was a common law dedication. And to meet the elements of a common law dedication, there has to be that clear and unequivocal offer. Judge Medema, like I said, went to great lengths to indicate that, yeah, there was probably an intent to make that dedication, but they never pulled the trigger and made that offer. And I think that is the key. You know, if we're going to address a cause of action based on its elements, we don't have all the elements met in this case by the city.
And submitting the plans and actually building the parking lot are not enough.
Well, ironically enough, Your Honor, if you look at we think the plans and this plat speak volumes. Although I think the judge in the lower, Judge Medema, used that as a secondary argument because he didn't see an offer. But the plat itself, if you look at, well, it's hard to read on the plat, but if you look at page 2 of our brief, we paraphrase what the court had said, and the final plat says, Life 35, among others, will be used for common landscape and private recreation lots owned and maintained by Two Rivers.
Now, I understand what the plat says, but I was saying the parking lot plans, the submission of the plans, you know, for a specific number of parking stalls, that type of thing, before the plat was recorded.
And again, Your Honor, I go back to the fact that there's parking lots all through this subdivision. And it specifically, again, the narrow argument is that it was never, this lot, 35, was never specifically dedicated to the city by the developers. And we just don't have that offer to do so. So I think it's pretty clear, and I think the record is clear that as much as it's been touched upon that there may have been an intent, there just was no offer ever made to dedicate this property to the City of Eagle. You know, there was other ways that this could have been addressed, but we're looking at a common law dedication here. And frankly, the plaintiff appellants have not met their burden making this a common law dedication like they're trying to. And again, I don't know if you'd like me to address the counts 2 and 3 and the arguments made by counsel, but I presume that those are secondary arguments at this point in time.
Sounds good. Appreciate it. How much time does the appellant have?
10 minutes, Your Honor.
Sir?
Thank you. Just a few brief comments to unpack some of that argument that was just made. First, with regards to the elements, and I made reference to the district court's specific finding, but the first element of the common law dedication, looking for a clear and unequivocal intent. It is the intent that is to be clear and unequivocal, and it is that intent that the district court found actually existed in this case. Then I believe the district court was correct, that the record reflects that. Then the substance of what the offer, when the offer is actually made, is measured at the time of acceptance. And as I had stated, that's now substance provided to the City Council in that design review application. And if the court looks, it's hard to do on camera, but when the court looks at to Dan Torfin, the grantor's affidavit, exhibits 3 and exhibits 5. Exhibit 3 is the picture of the actual parking lot. And exhibit 5 is the design review application of what it's going to look like, and they match. That the point of that is the city received the specifics of the offer in March. That's reflected on exhibit 5 to Mr. Torfin's affidavit. And that's exactly what was built, and it's exactly what was used. So I believe the surrounding circumstances in this record does reflect, one, a clear and unequivocal intent to dedicate this lot for public use occurred. And I believe the record in this case reflects that that specific offer was accepted by the city. And at that point, the common law dedication had been completed. So with that, we...
So are we in essence inferring that an offer was made, or are we inferring the terms of that offer based on what was actually built?
Justice Brody, I think you would be affirming that an actual offer to provide public parking at the trailhead was made. It's what was specifically stated in the minutes on November 26th, where the landowner, the grantor, specifically said to the decision maker, quote, "And we're going to provide parking that we didn't show you in the last meeting." And then goes on to say, so that there can be additional parking there for the public. And when you then look at the context of the entire discussion, it makes clear that there was a specific intent to dedicate a public parking lot. The substance of that offer is not required to be made at the time of the intent. The intent is clear. The district court recognized that, and it's completed. The substance of that offer is then measured at acceptance, which culminates in May of 2003, when we know all of the details of what the public parking offer, the intent, what it was comprised of. And that's what was accepted. So with that, we ask that this court reverse the district court, find that under these facts, the common law dedication did in fact incur. I'll stand for any questions.
Anything further? Hearing none, this matter is now under advisement. We'll render a decision. Thank both counsel for their appearance here today. Court's in recess.
Thank you.
Thank you.